Nobody's actually gotten any flyers from Ginger last time I talked to her, so if you could do that afterwards and just put them up somewhere in town just to get that word out, that'd be great. The Salvation Army sign-up is back on the welcome podium, so you can look on that and just sign up for a time that you'd like to ring the bell to help raise some money for the Salvation Army. Our Thanksgiving potluck is today, so make sure you stick around afterwards, and we'll be eating in the fellowship hall. And then last thing is that we are exploring possibly a special needs ministry. Before we even go into that, we need to know if there are anybody that would like to volunteer to help with that. So if you are interested in working with special needs kids, then see Regina or myself, and we'll talk to you about it, and we'll see how things go from there. It's not fair. This is a statement we hear a lot. Whether it's on the playground as a child or work as an adult, there are times we feel that something's not fair. We feel that things should be fair, and usually that comes about when we feel someone else is getting more than we are. So we try to make things fair so that everyone gets the same amount. This is not always possible. Take the election we just had. Someone had to get more votes. Now, regardless of who won or who lost, those who voted for the losing candidate say it's not fair. Children on the playground games, one of the examples I was bringing up is the Electoral College. Before the election, I heard a lot of conservative friends talking about that, you know, it's not a fair deal that, you know, all this is going to happen. And then after the election, I heard the opposite from my liberal friends. Oh, it's not fair. We need to get rid of the Electoral College. So it, one of those examples. Children on the playground, they play games. Someone has to win, someone loses. It's not fair. When siblings are supposed to be working to accomplish a task and one does better than the other or does more work, the other one's saying, it's not fair. You work hard for your employer. Someone else gets promoted above you. It's not fair. You raise your kids to know right from wrong. Then you watch them make the wrong decisions while other parents raise their kids to know right from wrong, and they make the right decisions. Sometimes we say, it's not fair. When Donna and Kaylin were younger, they shared a room. One of their chores was to clean that room. Inevitably, one of them wasn't going to work as hard as the other. And we would hear, it's not fair. They didn't say it in that word. She's not helping me. She's not picking up. But it was all the same. They were feeling that things must be fair. Because if we do the hard work, we should get more of a reward, right? Where does this need come from that everything should be fair? And does it translate to everything in life? Ultimately, it boils down to a selfish desire. We think that we should get the same as everyone else, or more, if we've done more of the work. The problem with this thinking is that if we focused on ourselves, we cannot be focusing on others and being happy for their gain. God isn't always fair, but He does give us what we need. When Dan was in college, he told me this story, that he had a job preaching 3 hours away. And he had a car, so he was able to go back and forth. Well, his car broke. So now he's sitting there trying to figure out, well, how am I going to get back and forth? Well, there was a young lady at the college that she was a missionary's kid. Her parents lived in Italy. Well, she was going to college, so they bought her a car while she was at college. Well, she could speak 5 languages, so Interpol offered her a job. She decided college wasn't for her, so she was going to take the job, and she was leaving. Dan needed a car. She had a car. She sold it to him for $1. And that was just so that, you know, there was more paperwork involved if she just gave it to him than if she sold it to him for $1. Now, that wasn't necessarily fair, because if it was fair, then her parents would have gotten what the car was worth, right? Today we're looking at Matthew 20, 1 through 16. This is the parable of the vineyard workers. Before this, Jesus was talking with, he was talking to a young rich man. And the young rich man came up and said, asked him, "What must I do to get eternal life?" So Jesus answered him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which one?" the man inquired. "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All of these I've kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." So the disciples were having problems with this, giving your money all away and then come follow him, because they were, well, we didn't have any money to give away to begin with. So what's going to be in it for us, you know? So then Jesus tells them this parable. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius, which is equal to a day's wage at that time, for the day, and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and about the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I give you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. So Jesus is telling the story to the disciples. They just got done asking him about what there was for them, because they had nothing. The rich man was told to tell all the to sell all his possessions and give to the poor. Jesus replied to them that through man it was impossible to be saved, but with God all things are possible. Then he goes on to make a point that all who follow him will inherit eternal life, and there is no order or hierarchy amongst those believers. There are a couple things we can learn from this story. The first is that God is just and generous. Who's the story talking about? God's the owner of the vineyard. It's plain to see because Jesus starts out with the kingdom of heaven is like. The vineyard is God's kingdom, and the workers are us, the church, or believers. It's not fair, is what the workers that were hired first are grumbling. We worked hard in the long day and during the heat of the night and during the heat of the day. The fact that they worked long hours wasn't disputed. A Jewish workday was 12 hours long, and it started at 6 in the morning and went to 6 in the evening. So if you look at that, you can tell when the hour periods go, the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and the 11th hour. So these men are hired, and they've been working all 12 hours. Pretty long hours. And I can imagine that working in the vineyard, it's probably not easy work. So, as day laborers, they did not have a place to work every day. So, each one went to the marketplace, which is why they were there standing waiting for the owner to come. In today's culture, we might find that in California of the migrant workers that will wait at Home Depot or somewhere like that and wait for somebody to come up and say, hey, I need some help and I'll hire you for the day. And then they go with them and they go off and they work for the day and they get paid. Or you can look at it as a temp agency. You know, you go in, you tell them this is what I can do, and they place you with a job that you can do, and you get paid, and sometimes that's just for the day, sometimes it's a little bit longer, but then eventually it's temporary, right? So eventually you have to go back and ask for another job. So all these men needed a day's wage. That's why they were there. So for them to say it's not fair is wrong, because the owner was just and gave them what he told them he would. How does this tell us about God's kingdom? Where do we fit? There are two ways of looking at this parable. One is looking at this parable as those who found faith earlier in Christ, earlier in their life, and those who found faith later in their life. If we look at it this way, we see God's grace in the fact that no matter when we come to give our life over to Christ, we receive the same reward. We are all saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This is something we all need. No matter what we have done, said, or thought about, we can find forgiveness and acceptance in Jesus Christ. In the parable, just because some were invited to work in the field before others didn't change what the reward was. So we should be rejoicing that others received the same reward. How is our attitude towards new believers? Do we congratulate them and get excited with them, only to later forget about them? Or do we continue to walk alongside them? What about the new believer that committed murder and is on death row? Or the one whose life is in a rough place and they are not the type of people that we normally associate with? Do they deserve less grace than you or I? Our attitude should be that of praise for one more soul that gets to spend eternity with God. We should be welcoming them with open arms, even though they have faults. After all, don't we all? None of us can say we do not sin. But the most wonderful thing about our Lord Jesus Christ is the fact that He forgives sin. He doesn't just say, okay, but treats us as though we never did it. He doesn't just say, okay, but He treats us as though we never did it, as long as we ask for forgiveness and do our best not to do it again. Jesus actually gives us His righteousness to wear as our own. Without it, we would not be seen as perfect by God and would not get to spend eternity with God. In this way, we can see new believers from God's perspective, which after all is the way we should be looking at things, right? Another way to look at the parable is to look at it as a timeline. The workers that were hired first, third, sixth, and ninth would be the Jews. And all of us are those hired on the 11th hour. So looking at the parable from this perspective, we have a different take on whether it's fair or not. We're the last to accept the invitation to work. So should we get less grace than those that have gone before us? This is where God is generous. None of us deserve grace. Yet, when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He gives us that grace. We should be rejoicing that we receive the same reward because we are the 11th hour workers. All disciples are created equally. The sentence, "So the last will be first and the first will be last," sandwiches the parable. This isn't a reordering of those in God's kingdom. It's an absence of ordering at all. There is no "I'm better than you" or "I'm worthless" in God's kingdom. Romans 3:22 through 24 says, "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by the grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." Did you hear that? No difference in believers. We are all sinners, and in God's eyes, we are all the same regardless of what sin we commit. That is why we need Jesus. It's in Him that we can be seen as blameless by God. So if Jesus gives us His righteousness, then none of us can claim to be better than anyone else. And none of us can earn grace. Then what we are given is generous. And from that perspective, maybe it is actually fair. The second point is that we are invited to work in the vineyard being God's kingdom. We as believers are called to work. The workers were all called at different hours, some at the beginning and some at the very end. But they were all to work until the end of the day. The owner of the vineyard invited them to work in his vineyard and receive a reward. But it is different as a believer because we already received our reward. Once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we can be assured that we are saved. That is grace and our reward. Our response to that reward is our love for Jesus and our devotion to Him. This is shown in works. We do not work to be saved, but because He, Jesus, saved us. Paul puts it best in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we're here to do good works. As a body of believers, we gather at this building and say we have committed ourselves to furthering God's kingdom together. Sometimes this involves going outside of the local area, but most of the time, our time is spent closer at home. It makes sense, then, that we should be involved with the ministries inside the church. We all have gifts. Are you using yours? And I'm talking young and old here. Every one of us is given a gift by God. This gift is for service to God. We may have the gift of administration. That helps us in the business world. That's great. Another may have the gift of teaching and uses that in school or college. Awesome. Another may have the gift of serving, encouraging, or any of the other gifts that helps them in their job. This is wonderful. But we have to ask ourselves, are we using these gifts God has given us to serve Him? There are plenty of opportunities right here in the church for you to serve and use your gift. Some of these are found in the bulletin or by talking to Dan or myself or one of the elders. All of us are called to work for God in some way. We have already been given the reward, so it's up to us to see the work through. If you are not a believer and today you heard about Jesus and want to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, or you're thinking about it but just aren't sure it is time, don't wait. You're the worker waiting for the owner to come along and invite you to come to his vineyard. The invitation's there. Jesus has put the invitation out to all who follow Him and have eternal life. All the workers in the parable took the owner up on the offer because they knew they needed what he had to give. Now is the time to accept the invitation because you don't know when it's going to be too late. As we get ready for the invitation, if you're here and you're looking for a church home, we're glad you're here. If you have decided to follow Jesus or just want to pray with someone, I'll be up front. We'll have a leader over here by the cross, and then we also have the bench up here. Don't wait until it's too late, because we don't know when that's going to be. So come and be a working part of God's kingdom.
Giving you my heart, know that it's within. Lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. Giving you my dreams, lay it down for the promise of new life.